Good morning. My name is Jeremy. I'm the pastor here at Cornerstone, and we are in the fourth week of our sermon series called Defeating the Darkness. And we've been reading through the book of Luke talking about how Jesus Christ defeats the darkness in our world and delivers his people and brings us some relief. My wife Sarah and I had some much-needed relief this week from a stench in our apartment that we could not identify. And it lasted all week, and it was awful. And my wife was able to identify it first. She's got a really good nose, and she's usually able to sniff these things right out. And she started sniffing around about Sunday afternoon. She said, "What is that smell? It smells like rotten food. Is there anything in the refrigerator that's gone rotten?" And so we opened it up, and we looked inside, and we couldn't find anything. Couldn't find where the smell was coming from. But we needed some temporary relief, and so we took one of those Febreze things that smells like lilacs or whatever, and you know, we just sprayed it all over the kitchen. And then, oh, we could breathe again. We got some temporary relief from this awful problem. But then it didn't last long, and shortly later, Sarah started sniffing again. She said, "It smells like the seat of your gym shorts after you play basketball. Did you leave your clothes lying around or something?" I said, "No, I don't think so." And so we checked the laundry, and we sniffed around, and we couldn't find the smell there either. But we needed some temporary relief, and so we took that Febreze can, and we sprayed it all over by the laundry, and then we could breathe again. And it got temporary relief from our problem. But it didn't last. And it wasn't long before she started smelling again. She says, "It smells like a combination of dead fish and a used baby diaper. What's been going on in this place? Is it the garbage? What have you been doing here?" And so we checked the garbage, and we smelled and see if we could find it from coming from there, but it wasn't coming from the garbage either, and we needed some temporary relief. So we sprayed the Febreze all over, and then, we could breathe again. And it wasn't until about Friday afternoon or Saturday morning or so when we went to use the microwave. And, you know, we don't cook a whole lot. We don't have any kids. We're eating out a lot and things. And we open this microwave, and all of a sudden this stench comes out of it that is just horrifying. I can't even think of words to describe how bad this smelled. It was in a Tupperware container. So that tells you how long it's been sitting there and how bad it smelled to get out of the Tupperware container, out of the microwave. And what it was a container of broccoli. And broccoli smells awful when it's fresh. And so for weeks this had been in there. And I looked online to find the worst picture of rotten broccoli I could find. And this does nothing. This is the worst picture I could find. This has nothing on what was in my microwave. It was starting to liquefy and bubble. It was just unbelievable. And we had to go to the source of our problems to get some permanent relief. We had to figure out what was causing the problems and take care of that. We had to go to the source of the issue. And one of the things that's most amazing to me is as I've gotten connected with large groups of believers in different congregations, once you're connected to large amounts of people, it just amazes me how many of us are going through real problems with real struggles that we are desperate for relief from. And we can think that we're the only ones who are going through something terrible when we're going through some problems, but once you get connected to large groups of people, you find out how many of us are really suffering and need real relief. And I've been on in lots of different prayer teams in some of the churches I've been in. I've been on the prayer teams, and I go and I show up for Wednesday morning prayer, and I see pages and pages of prayer requests, front and back, of people who are struggling with real problems that we need relief from. And whenever we're going through at the time, that can sort of come to define and consume our lives. We can think that the problem we're going through, even though it's serious, we can make it out to be even bigger than it is. We can think that whatever we're going through is the source of all of our troubles in life. And if only we had relief from that problem, then all of our problems would be solved. We may be struggling to make ends meet. And that's a serious problem that causes lots of pain and anxiety and suffering. And we may think, if only I had a better source of income, then all of my problems would be solved. And as serious as a problem as that is, and as great a concern, we know that the source of our problems is even bigger than that. Because those who are provided for, those who are comfortable financially, still run into problem after problem in this life. And some of us are going through some very serious health concerns. And we think, if only I had my health back. If only I was healthy again, then all of my problems would be solved. And as serious as a problem as that is, and as much pain and suffering as that causes in our life, we know that the source of our problems is even greater than that, because even those who are healthy will still run into problems. And when we're comfortable financially and when we're in good health, we still run into problem after problem. We can run into problems overcoming addiction and depression, problems of finding meaning in life, and peace and hope and joy. And these are serious problems as well. And as serious problems as these are, and as much pain and suffering as these cause, we know that the source of our problems is even greater than these. Because when one problem is solved, another one will arise. And so today we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 4. We've been reading through the book of Luke, talking about how Jesus Christ is God himself, come to earth to defeat the darkness and deliver us from the problems and the evil of this world. And we're going to look at how Jesus takes care of the effects of the darkness in this world, and how he doesn't just stop there, how he goes to the source. So we'll be reading Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 31. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have a Bible table over there in the back. Feel free to stand up and go grab one. I'd encourage you to take one home if you don't have one, and bring it every Sunday. We'll be reading in Luke chapter 4, verse 31. If you don't have a Bible with you as well, I'll have it on the screen. Verse 31 says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had in him the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" So last week we took a look at how Jesus Christ is God himself, come to defeat the darkness, the God of light. And in Luke chapter 4, starting verse 1, we saw the God of light come face to face and go toe to toe with the prince of darkness as he was tempted by the devil. And Satan himself tried to get Jesus Christ, the God of light, to follow him and do what he said. And he tried to get Jesus to prove who he was by doing these different things that he said. And Jesus did prove who he was, but not by doing the things that Satan said. Jesus proved that he was the Holy One, the Son of God, by being able to completely resist the devil, something that no human being had ever done and has ever done since. Jesus proved that he has no influence, the darkness has no influence with him, that he has no alliance with him, and that Jesus is not influenced by the darkness, but has a capability to defeat it. And he proved that he's the Holy One of God, and because of that, news has traveled fast in the spiritual world. The powers of darkness recognize who Jesus is. Jesus encounters this man with an unclean spirit. He's got a demon in him. The demon knows who Jesus is. He says, "You are the Holy One of God. I know who you are." Word has spread fast. The powers of darkness know who Jesus is, and they know what he's here to do. And the surprising thing is that last week we saw people are slow to get on board with this. And we've been talking about how all of us have made choices which have hurt ourselves, hurt others, and rebelled against God. And in that way, we have listened to the darkness, and we've been influenced by the darkness, and we are not perfect. We have actually something real to apologize for before God. And as human beings are prone to do, prone to choose the darkness over God, we see that when the God of light came, people were slow to warm up to this idea that he is God himself, come to deliver us and defeat the darkness of this world. In the verses preceding this, before verse 31, we looked at a group of people who were holding on to the darkness. They valued the darkness more than the God of light. Even though they were standing face to face with Jesus Christ, with God himself, as he started shedding light on the dark areas of their hearts, they became defensive and tried to protect that. They chose the darkness again over God, and they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff to stop what was coming. They tried to stop Jesus Christ from removing the darkness of this world, because the darkness of their hearts is more important. And so they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff last week. But while the people are slow to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, come to earth to deliver us, and to remove evil from our presence, to remove evil from our world, the powers of darkness know it. They know who Jesus is, And they know what he's here to do. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says that the reason the Son of God appeared is this: to destroy the works of the devil. And here in verse 34, this demon knows that Jesus is here to destroy him. The darkness knows that its time is up, that its days are numbered. They know who Jesus is and what he's here to do. And continuing on, reading in verse 35, it says, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region." And so this man is tormented by the devil. He's got a demon inside of him. And that can sound weird to us because we try to explain our world today in purely physical terms. But any view of the world which tries to describe our world in purely physical terms will only lead to great emptiness, because our world is a spiritual one as well. And we are spiritual beings. And Christianity is awesome because it addresses this. And Christianity is awesome because through Jesus Christ, we come to peace, spiritual peace, with the God who created us. And here Jesus shows that he's got power over the darkness again. And he commands the darkness to leave this man alone, and he brings him spiritual peace. Jesus is powerful over the forces of evil. He's come to defeat them. He's come to remove them from the world forever. And the darkness knows it. It knows its time is up. And we see Jesus encountering the explicit presence of darkness again. We saw last week he went toe-to-toe with the devil, and here he goes face-to-face with the demon. And Jesus proves himself powerful over the evil of this world. And not only is he powerful over the spiritual evil, we're going to see he's powerful over the effects, the physical effects that we experience of living in a fallen and dark world. It says in verse 38 that he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And we see Jesus not only powerful in the spiritual world, but powerful over the physical effects, the physical world that we live in every day, the physical effects of evil that we encounter. And it says that he starts off with a specific person with a specific issue. She's Simon's mother-in-law. And her issue is that she's got a high fever. And Jesus stands over her and rebukes the fever, and it leaves her. Jesus is powerful over the physical effects of evil that we encounter every day. And Jesus doesn't just stop there. It says that anyone who was sick, everyone who had an illness, everyone who had a disease, all of them, they brought all of them to Jesus. And he healed them one by one from the effects that they were suffering from evil in this world. Each one of these people with a name and a story of how they are suffering under the physical effects of living in a dark world. And Jesus healed them all. And through Jesus, he's God come to earth. We can see what his will is. We can see what God's will is through Jesus Christ and what he did. And when God came to earth, he healed every single person who came to him seeking relief. And I mentioned I've been in churches where the prayer stacks are that thick, page after page, front and back, of people suffering through addiction and illness, disease and death. Each one of them with a name and a story of how they are suffering under the physical effects of darkness in this world. And already in the short time I've been here, I've had the opportunity to pray with many of you about the effects of the evil in this world that you are suffering from. And what is your story? How have you been impacted by the darkness? What suffering and what pain are you going through and your family encountering from living in a dark world? When Jesus came to earth, all of these people, all of them had a story. And Jesus healed them all. He delivered all of them from the effects of darkness in this world. And his miracles point to the fact that he is God. He is God come to earth with power to do this, power to defeat the darkness and deliver his people. And they point to his being the Son of God. In verse 41, demons came out of many crying, "You are the Son of God." And the people need relief. We need relief. In verse 42, it talks about how Jesus has the power to reverse the effects of the darkness. And in verse 42, we continue on. And it says, "When it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them." Because they need relief. We need relief from the problems of this world. And Jesus says to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And so the people try to keep Jesus there, but he says, "I've got a greater purpose than just providing temporary relief from the effects of evil in this world." He's going to go to the source. He's going to take care of the source of our problems. And he's going to go and preach the message of this kingdom, a kingdom which will be free from suffering and pain. Jesus has been giving people a sneak peek, a glimpse into what it's going to be like when he removes evil from this world, when he removes the darkness from this world. The effects of living in a dark world will go with it. And so Jesus continues on to preach the kingdom of God, this message of a kingdom where there's no more pain and no more suffering. And we're going to skip down to verse 17, and we're going to see Jesus, as he's taking care of the effects of living in a dark world, he's also going to go to the source. It says in verse 17 that on one of those days as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And so we've got some men, and we've got a paralytic with great faith. And they've heard of Jesus, who he is and what he's come to do. And they've heard about how he's healed people and he's delivered them from the horrible effects of the darkness, the very real problems that we experience in this life. And they've got great faith in who Jesus is and what he's come to do. And they know that if they bring this man to Jesus, Jesus has the power to heal them. And they know that not only does he have the power, he has the will. He wants to do this. He's been healing everyone who's come to him looking for healing. They have great faith. And their faith is so strong that even though the crowds are so thick, they're not deterred. They know that if they just bring this man in contact with Jesus, that he will be healed. And so it's not easy to get a paralyzed man up to the roof. But these four men struggle, and they get their friend up to the roof because of their great faith in Jesus and what he can do and what he's come to do. And they're expecting that when they remove the tiles of this roof, when they lower the man on his mat through the roof of this house and bring him into the presence of Jesus, they think that Jesus is going to heal him. And they've gone to all this great effort because they think that the source of this man's problems is that he can't walk. He's dependent on other people for everything in life, his food, his clothing, his help. He's paralyzed. And everybody there thinks the source of his problems is that he can't walk. And that's a serious problem. It's causing serious pain and suffering in this man's life. But when they lower the man through the roof to Jesus, it says when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now, the worst pain I've ever been in was I was playing basketball. And I was driving to the hoop, came up with an amazing crossover, behind the back, spin 360. Okay, maybe it wasn't that impressive, but it was good. Driving into the lane, and the two defenders collapsed to help out. These two huge guys. And I jump in the air, like Jordan, tongue wagging, elegant, strong. I get them both to jump and bite on the fake. And I deliver a Ricky Rubio-esque behind-the-back pass. Bam! And my friend who's 6'8", two-handed, slam! And I didn't get to see any of that. Because on the way down, my ankle rolled. And my knee got jealous. And it rolled. And I partially tore 3 ligaments in my knee, and I have never experienced this kind of pain in my life. I was crying like a little baby on the floor, desperate for relief from this pain, and I thought I had seriously injured myself. It took weeks to recover, but thankfully nothing was fully torn, but I didn't know that. I thought I might have really messed myself up, and so I had my friends drive me to the doctor, and we went to get an MRI to see if anything was fully torn in that knee, and I was in such anguish. I was biting down on a towel, trying not to cry in front of my friends, and the sweat was just pouring off of me because I was in such pain. And when I got to the doctor, I can't imagine what I would have done if when I got to them, he said, "Jeremy, your sins are forgiven." I would have been like, "You don't understand what my problem is. I'm dying here from this pain. I'm in anguish. Help me. Give me morphine, anything. Help me with my problem. You don't know. You don't understand. I don't know what I would have done if he would have said, Jeremy, your sins are forgiven. Ta-da." And how about you? Have you ever been in severe pain? Have you ever gone to the emergency room or needed the help of a doctor? Needed relief from the suffering, the problems, and the pain in this world? And what would you would have done if the doctor would have looked at your loved one or yourself or your child and said, "Your sins are forgiven"? What would you would have done? You would have said, you don't seem to know what's going on. But Jesus knows what's going on, and he's here to offer this man more than just temporary relief. He came to do more than just relieve us of the effects of the darkness. He came to go to the source of the darkness in our world. And before he heals this man, Jesus goes to the source of suffering. And it's not the effects of the darkness. It's where they come from. And where they come from is that this man, just like we all are, part of a humanity which has lost its way. We've gone off the track, off the plan for God's will for our lives. And we see that from the first human beings in Genesis 3. They choose the darkness over God. They choose to listen to evil over God, even though they know who God is. And they know what will happen if they do it. They choose it. We talked about how since then, every one of us has done something to choose the darkness as well. To choose something that we know is wrong, we know brings pain. We've still chosen it, just like the first human beings have as well. And in doing so, we've contributed to the presence of evil on this world. We've hurt others, ourselves, and rebelled against God. And Jesus goes to the source, and the source is our sin. It's that our sin has gotten us off track, and through sin, illness and death and all of the physical effects of darkness came into the world, and we chose the darkness over God. And so Jesus goes to the source in this man's life, even this man, who's dependent on other people for everything in his life. Even he has sin. Even his life has been derailed by the presence of sin. And so Jesus goes to the source. He's got more to offer than temporary relief. He's got eternal relief. And this man's main problem, the source of his problems, is not that he can't walk. As serious and as painful as that is, it doesn't diminish that problem in any way. But the source of his problems is his sinful nature and a holy God who loves him. The problem is that he, just like the rest of us, our lives are off track, and we need something to get us back on. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to go to the source and get our lives and our people back on track to God's plan for our lives. The Bible teaches us that we were never meant to experience the illness and the suffering and the death that we do. That was not God's original intention. But it entered when we chose the darkness. And here Jesus is going to the source. He's getting us back on track. He's here to provide more than just temporary relief. But he's here to provide eternal relief. And this thing that Jesus does is surprising to everybody. They expect him to be healed. They expect the man to get up and walk. But instead, Jesus has first addressed the source of his problems. And not only is it shocking and unexpected, but it's also offensive. Because Jesus personally forgives this man's sins against God. And the people who are there, they're paying attention. They don't miss it. They say, "Wait a minute." The scribes and the Pharisees say, and they begin to question, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And again, Luke teaches us time and time again that Jesus is God. He is God come to earth to do this. That's why he's got the power. That's why he's got the capability. That's why he's doing the things he's done. And again, here it is. He's doing the things he's doing because he is God. That's exactly the point. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus, because he is God, come to earth. And Jesus replaces the darkness of our hearts with light and salvation. And he gets this man's life back on track by forgiving him of his sins. And Jesus wants to do the same for us. He wants to forgive us of our sins. Even though we've chosen to do things that we know to be wrong, Jesus wants us to receive that forgiveness because he loves us, because he wants us back with him. He wants to restore us to a God who loves us. And to all those who are doubting who he is, Jesus continues on and says in verse 22 that when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man," and it's a term that he uses for himself, "that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed and walk. Go home." And so Jesus says, you know, I can say that I'm here. I can say that I'm God, come to forgive sins, that I have power and authority to do this. But if I say that and I forgive this man of his sins, some of you are going to deny what has just happened. You're going to deny who I am and what I've come to do. So instead of just forgiving the man of his sins so that you all may know that I have the power to do this, that I am who I say I am and that I've come to do what I've said I come to do, I'm going to remove the visible, physical effects of the evil and the darkness in this man's life as well, so that nobody here can deny who I am and what I'm here to do. And he says, rise, get up, take your bed, take your mat, and go home. And the man does. Immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." These people knew that they were in the presence of something amazing. They know that people just don't get up and walk home from being paralyzed. Jesus shows everybody that he is God, that he does have the power to forgive sins, that he does have the power to take care of the source of all of the problems that we experience in this world. And not only does he do that, but to show us that he has that power, he gives us a glimpse, a sneak peek into what it's like when he returns, when he brings his kingdom back on earth as it is in heaven, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, and he relieves this man of the physical effects of the dark world as well. And everybody says, "We have seen extraordinary things today." And Jesus wants to give us forgiveness. It's what he wants to do. Christianity is amazing because it very clearly tells us why we have problems. It tells us why we experience so much pain and suffering that we know is not right. And the reason why is that humanity has gone off of track of God's plan. Because we've chosen the darkness over God. That's where the darkness comes from. And Christianity is awesome because not only does it tell us how the problems got here, it tells us what to expect from those problems. We can expect pain and illness and death and suffering. And Christianity is awesome because it tells us we have a God who's not going to let this go on. That we have a powerful God who loves us and doesn't want this to go on forever. And so it tells us how life comes and how the darkness is defeated and how that evil is removed from this world and through Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. And Christianity is awesome because it tells us when this is going to happen. It's going to happen at the return of Jesus. The evil will be removed from our presence. Until then, we will experience real problems, real pain, real suffering, and real illness. But because Jesus has gone to the source and removed the source, all of those problems are temporary. It doesn't mean they hurt any less. But it means that we have hope. Romans 8:18 says that our present sufferings are nothing compared to our future glory. If we hold on to the darkness, then we've got an eternal problem. But if we let go of the darkness in our hearts, if we repent of that, if we receive Jesus' light and forgiveness and salvation, we'll experience an eternal kingdom. We'll have eternal relief from our problems. And what are the effects of the darkness that you're experiencing in your life today? And whatever they are, Jesus has gone to the source of our problems, and he's taken care of that. He's gotten our lives back on track. And those of us who have repented of our sins, those of us who have broken our alliance with the darkness, have a new alliance to receive from Jesus Christ because of his forgiveness, and he offers it to us. And for those of us who have broken our alliance and are forgiven by Jesus Christ, we'll be free from the effects of evil on this world to celebrate for an eternity. And those of us who have an alliance with Jesus, when Jesus returns, we'll see the darkness defeated and completely removed from this world. Jesus shows us what it will be like when he completely removes the darkness from this world, when he came to earth, when he healed all of us, when he showed his power over the effects of darkness in this world. And those of us who have an alliance with Jesus will again see blind people receive sight. We'll see suffering people receive peace. We'll see sick people receive health. And we'll see dead people receive life. Because that's what God wants for us. That's what God has come to do. That's who Jesus is and what he does. He's gone to the source of our problems to do more than just give us temporary relief, but to provide us with an eternal relief from these real sufferings that we experience today. Let's take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your love, God. And we thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you that even though we've made choices which have gone against your will, that you love us so much that you came to forgive us, to pay the price for that and restore us to the plan that God has for us. God, I pray for everybody here who is suffering and in pain, who's experiencing the real effects of evil and sin in this world. God, I pray that you would come to them right now and provide them with temporary relief. Heal their bodies. Bless them with provision. God, we trust in your great power over darkness. And we pray that you would give us even more strength than that. We pray that you'd give us the strength to repent of our sins. We pray that you would open our eyes to the forgiveness that you offer us today, so that we may have more than just temporary relief, that we may have eternal relief. And we look forward to the day when you come and remove evil from this world. We look forward to the day when you bring heaven to earth. Jesus, we pray for your Holy Spirit and your strength in our lives. Open the eyes of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today is our day to celebrate communion. And when we take part in communion, we're going to continue on something that believers in Jesus Christ have been doing ever since he came 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus was eating a meal with his disciples before he died. And he took the bread that was on the table and he gave it new meaning. And he said, "This bread is my body broken for you." And he took the wine that was on the table and he gave that wine new meaning. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you, shed for you on the cross." And Jesus did this so that our lives could be brought back on track with God's plan. And so as believers today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and participate in this communion. And we remember what Jesus has done for us. And in a moment, we're going to pass the trays of wine. Jesus' blood poured out for us. And we ask that you, if you're a believer, take one of those. And a moment later, the baskets will pass of bread. And we ask that you would take one of those. And during this time, during this next song, we're going to sing about who Jesus is and what we're doing right now. And we're going to remember Jesus and what he's done for us. And we ask that whenever you're ready, that you remember what Jesus has done, what he's come to do, and that you partake in the communion. And then afterwards, feel free to join in with the worship.